Welcome to the 182nd episode of the No Nonsense Trivia Podcast, the weekly quizcast where two professional quizmasters talk about how to write and host great pub trivia, as well as quizzing each other and our guests on our favorite questions of the week. I'm one half of your hosting team, Quizmaster Lee, and as usual, I'm joined by fellow master of the quiz, Mark Davis!
Hello, that's me. How are you?
I'm doing great.
Good. I'm so glad to hear it.
We made a very wise decision this morning. We went to breakfast.
Well, I made the decision.
Well, I also decided to come along.
Well, yeah.
We made decisions. Decisions were made to go to breakfast with our friend Eric. Our listeners will remember Eric from the show. He's here right now. Hey. Welcome, Eric. Welcome, bud.
Hi-oh.
The man we sometimes call Fro.
I stole it. Sorry.
Yep. You know, hey, I'm sure Seth is smiling right now in his rhino lining truck bed.
And fortune should favor us with running into another old friend, a local historian and guide. He's laughing. He's acting. I'm not a historian. I'm not a guide. It's Bobby. Welcome, Bobby.
Oh, can't wait.
Welcome to the No Nonsense Trivia Podcast. He's very excited to be here.
Can't wait.
We dragged him here.
His arm. You want to be on the podcast? I don't know.
Yeah.
We're like, I was like, is there another day we can do it?
Yeah, but then you'll have to write questions. And he was like, we'll just do it now.
Yep. So Bobby's going to be joining us for our quiz today. Thanks for joining us, Bobby.
Oh, thanks for having me, guys.
Absolutely.
How's life?
Cool.
Good.
Bobby update. That's the Bobby update.
There you go.
Life is cool.
There it is. Hey, nothing wrong with a cool life.
Yep. You appreciate traveling. You appreciate bike polo. You're an aficionado of that sport. I don't know if a lot of our listeners are aware of bike polo. Can you explain it real quick?
It's like playing hockey on a bike.
So not like
nice
polo,
and easy for it.
Yeah. It's like hockey on a bike.
Yeah, the name's
three
a
on three generally.
How is it not like polo on a bike instead of a horse?
Because I don't know how polo works.
How it's different. Okay. I think it's fair enough.
The riding.
I don't either. So
the
I don't
vehicular
know how bike
component
polo.
Probably. Mm. Mm. You know,
I don't know how bike polo works. So
you have a mallet and there's a ball and yeah. It's three on three. And you've traveled all over the world playing bike polo, right?
The world?
Well, the North American continent?
Yeah. Okay, South yeah. Puerto Rico yeah. also is not part of that.
It's so. Part of the world. Yeah. It's
yeah.
out there.
Yeah. I mean, it's all part right. of America.
I might be trying to build it up a little bit, you know.
Build me up, and I'm yeah. like, no,
but
let's
you are well-traveled. Where are some places that you've been?
He's a travel boy.
Yeah, I mean, like, Egypt was a big one that people mm-hmm. tend to like to hear. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I like to
Morocco,
hear
Morocco, you like that?
Mm-hmm. You like that?
It's close mm-hmm. by to yeah. Egypt.
Same Thailand, trip? Mexico, different
yeah,
trips.
Tell me more. Oh, nice.
Trips. Tell me more.
Well, oh we hope that you enjoy the quiz today, and maybe you can come back and join us another time with some questions about these places. But we okay. have our own quiz to bring to you today.
Indeed, Bobby is also a frequenter of Nice Guys Trivia lately.
I have been.
Playing with a veritable rogues gallery of people.
Pretty nice.
Yes, absolutely. Pretty nice.
Pretty nice.
Pretty nice.
And now we're going to test his mettle all alone here.
That's going to yes. suck.
Well, no, he'll have you to rely on and me true. When it's your question. Oh, yeah. But before we get to our quiz, how about we go over our weekly wrap-up? Mm. Okay, on Wednesday, December 22nd, we were at Pointy Bell Brewing Company for quiz number 378. I don't have the scores in front of me right now, but I do know the winners. And we had two shutout victories this week. The first was at Pointy Bell, and that would be the Hideaways getting all four rounds. The first three rounds and then the wow. overall prize. And then on Thursday...
What happened there?
What do you mean?
Thursday.
Oh, on Thursday, I'll tell you. December 23rd, we were at Ollie's Pub for Ooh. Quiz number 379. Ooh. And the Wet Boys absolutely dominating with a shutout victory.
Oh, who's the Wet Boys?
126 points, by the way.
Yeah.
I do remember that score. That stuck out.
I remember that as well. That is myself. I'd like to make a formal announcement here today.
Oh, mm-hmm. yeah. Let's hear it.
Seth is now officially a Wet Boy.
Hey!
We brought Seth officially into the fold.
Totally should have known that.
Totally should have known that. Mm-hmm. So, Seth, it was me, myself, Kristen, Fletcher, Seth, and Jamie Carmichael.
So was there like a ceremony or?
No, I think he just ate some brisket with us, some burnt ends.
That's some wet food.
From Big 8, hashtag not an ad.
Got some delicious wet food
yep.
for the Wet Boys.
Slopped okay. it down in front of them. And
Welcome
we said,
to the
eat
wet
of this
stuff.
And you are of our team. And he said, okay.
You love to see it.
Indeed.
He's no longer solo Seth.
Indeed.
He has a home.
Oh, yes, he does.
He's always had a home. He just didn't know it.
Mark, how did your teams do on Wednesday at Nice Guys Pizza?
Jesus Christ, Lee. They did so good. The team Tater Tits winning the first round with 22 points. And the second and third round going to Mr. Matt, Team Captain Matt and his family.
Hey.
Santos L. Halper winning the second round with 36 points and the last round with 54 points. However, on Zoom, Whiskey Tango winning the whole night with 81 points.
Very nice.
Indeed.
We love to see it. Congratulations to them. If you'd like to join us for trivia this week, you have a few opportunities to do so. First of all, this Wednesday, we're live at Pointy Bell Brewing Company in Fort Myers, Florida for a no-nonsense trivia challenge. It's genius night. It's all of our hardest questions of the year. We're asking one more time, and they're all going to be worth 5 points.
What?
So you have an opportunity to score very big at our trivia this week, the first of which would be on Wednesday at Pointy Bell Brewing Company at 7:30 p.m. On Thursday, we're at Ollie's Pub for our genius night over there. That's based on your category request from the year. And at 7:30 p.m., we hope you can join us. Prizes include gift cards, which can be spent on records, beer, or whatever else you can find for sale at Ollie's Pub in Cape Coral. That's Thursday at 7:30.
Yeah, let's hold on, because I don't know what's happened.
What?
Seth is here.
What the hell?
Hey!
Wow. Another Hi, contestant.
What? That's not Seth.
Merry Christmas, Fords.
That's not Seth. That's Seth.
What is this? This is insane.
A Christmas miracle?
Hey! Hey, what's going on? Hey! I'm just dropping off a gift for Amelia got Elliot a gift.
And, hey, how you doing, Chen?
How are you? And we were just dropping it off. We were at Lakes Park, and we were like, oh, let's just drop this gift off, and what a surprise.
I love this. This is what I love when people just drop by people's houses. People talk about how they hate it. I love that shit.
I do too.
I kind of hate it, but Seth gets a pass. Seth and the Fords get a pass. Yeah,
what Jen a good time this is. And Jen's here.
Amelia gets no pass.
Seth, go fuck yourself. I want to talk to Jen. How are you, Jen?
Here, talk. You have to speak.
You don't have to.
Don't do it.
No, you're good.
She said no.
That's great.
Jen's like, actually, I'd rather not.
Microphone. Keep going, guys. We're just dropping off.
He gave a hi-yo.
I did. I'm sorry.
I feel like we summoned you. We were just talking about
it. It's so bizarre.
If anybody deserves to use a hi-yo, it's Eric.
Aw, thank you, Seth. I feel
just once. No,
I'm kidding.
All right, guys. Wonderful. Get back to your game.
Cool. Yeah, thanks,
buddy.
All right. Who's Dungeon Master today?
I am.
He's as a dungeon master.
The three of you walk into a dense forest. You hear a whirring overhead.
I want to check for traps.
Is there any trivia in this chest?
All right, guys.
See you later.
Take it easy.
All right, where was I? You were on Thursday, Ollie's. On Thursday, we're at Ollie's Pub. That was great, by the way.
Yeah.
On Thursday, we're at Ollie's Pub in Cape Coral for a weekly quiz based on your category request. That's also 7:30 p.m. We hope you can join us. Prizes include gift cards, which can be spent on records, beer, or whatever else you can find for sale at Ollie's Pub in Cape Coral. That's Thursday at 7:30. And, of course, every week in Cape Coral, you can play Mark's Trivia on Wednesdays at Nice Guys Pizza or on Zoom. That starts at 8 p.m. Eastern. And please don't forget to follow No Nonsense Trivia on social media, including Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and Reddit. And join us on our Discord server to stay updated on all of our podcasts, streams, and events. Join us.
Won't you?
Bobby, his head flew up. He had no idea what was going on.
It's coming.
The chorus is here.
I used some of my money that I won to get a vinyl record on Thursday.
Oh, what'd you pick up?
Tim by The Replacements.
Oh, that's a good record.
Yeah, very pumped.
Oh, man. Yep, very that happy. Could be you, folks. Come out and join us. You can win some prizes, beers, records at all of our venues. They do have records at Nice Guys.
Yeah.
I don't know if you can get them as a prize, but you can certainly do.
Sometimes they do.
Through the records. Mm. Okay. Indeed. Let's take a little break.
Let's do it.
We'll come right back. This coffee is hitting me hard right now.
You can tell.
We'll come right back with some trivia in round one.
Thank you.
right, we're back. Mark, if you wouldn't mind doing the honors.
Absolutely. Here's the question. What common variety invertebrate animal has 32 brains, 10 stomachs, several hundred teeth, and 18 testicles?
Nice.
That's a lot of cum. What common variety invertebrate animal has 32 brains, 10 stomachs, several hundred teeth, and 9 pairs of testicles?
18-wheeler.
So we're talking about some sort of segmented worm or
a caterpillar of sort.
That is what I was thinking. I was thinking millipede
or leech. I know leeches have, like, if you cut them in half, they just, like, regrow.
It's all testicles.
All testicles. Testicles all the way down.
What if you get eight sets on one side and one on the other, though? I mean, it's
yeah.
Like,
oh, what? Oh, yeah. I was thinking,
does it,
like,
grow legs and become a man?
Yahtzee.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Is that how a man is made? You tell me.
What, is that what makes it takes? A man, Mr. Lebowski.
Oh, and of course, we have to mention for our Patreon supporters, you can go listen to an alternate audio track of The Big Lebowski with Mark and myself and Eric. Mm-hmm. A little special treat for you Patreon supporters. But yeah, millipede, clearly that's a million legs. Mm-hmm. They count all those million.
I feel like they just swing between those legs.
Yeah.
They assumed probably, right? Looks like a million there. It's a lot of legs. I feel caterpillar. I don't know why. He did say common variety, right?
We also want to remember that there's also other, there's like jellyfish are an invertebrate, squid too, and octopus.
I should say the reason that this popped in my brain is I think I've heard it before, maybe. I'm not totally sure, but this rings a bell.
Millipede?
Caterpillar. What's inside caterpillar. This thing again? What was the question? It had how many things of
32 life? Brains? 18 stomachs? No, 18
kidneys?
Testicles.
32 was brains, kidneys in there? 10 stomachs, several hundred teeth, and 9 pairs of testicles.
Teeth. Okay, wait a second.
Common variety invertebrate animal.
We also remember caterpillars turn into moths and butterflies. Do they still retain all those when they go through the metamorphosis?
Retain what?
All the testicles and hearts,
I'm leaning away from caterpillar now.
Oh, yeah.
But maybe you're onto something with a sea creature. Maybe it's like a starfish. Don't they have a lot of teeth? Like,
And do they
have a lot of teeth?
I know.
I mean,
they
when you flip them over, they got all those, like, are those teeth? Are they fingers? Or what's going on down there?
But they are also what's it called when you can asexual? No. What is it when you can reproduce? Reproduce, thank you. Without a partner.
Maybe it is asexual procreation.
Yeah, asexual. Asexual. Yeah.
Hmm.
I know they can do that. So the testicles thing might be. What's the point of having testicles? Unless
we know that barnacles have a big dong.
Yeah,
we do know that from this very podcast. Huh? Like that's the largest of any creature compared to its body size. It's like all dong.
Mm-hmm. Good to know. Good to know.
But I don't know about the brains. You know, I'm leaning more starfish, personally. Starfish.
You think they have a lot of testicles?
Maybe. I mean, there's a lot of legs. You know.
They do, yeah. For each leg. Yeah, I mean, yeah. There's, you know, I think the little things are legs. Maybe those are considered legs.
Well, they're sea stars, right?
Yeah,
they're not starfish.
Starfish. Oh, okay, you're right.
Sea name star. Change to sea stars.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
I didn't know about
stars.
That.
Yeah. So, but because
they're not fish.
But the little phalanges are those considered
the digits?
The little digits, are those all individual legs or are they fingers? Because that's how they move, right? They're like, I'm moving my fingers I'm playing a piano.
I just don't feel like they have teeth.
No. I know they have stomach.
They have a mouth, don't they?
The opening, I know, is directly goes to their stomach, but I don't know if they have teeth. I know they have an opening and they eat things like sea urchins, but I don't know if they
What's
have
the
teeth
time
either.
Limit on these questions?
We try to keep it going. About to right now, you know, like
it's right, the conversation gets dull.
2.5 minutes to 3 minutes, I think, is like the preferred. Our listeners will enjoy probably that amount of sus and much more than that. I think we probably need to come land it on something here.
I'm going back to caterpillar.
Yeah.
Caterpillar. All right, sure.
I'm fine with that. It was the first thing that came to mind.
You got to go with your gut.
Yep,
sure.
This is going to my one of 10 guts.
Yeah. Nice.
Caterpillar.
Sorry, that's incorrect. Fro did mention it, and I thought that you guys would follow it down because of teeth. Leech is the correct answer. Still used
those
to this day
vile
for
creatures
for some medical stuff.
Wow,
leech is the correct answer.
Wow.
Yep.
32 brains.
Indeed. So they actually say it's one brain broke up into 32 segments, but for the most part, it's 32 brains.
Okay.
Now I want to. Now I want to see how that all works.
Okay.
I mean, I'm not going to cut one open. I'll go to the internet.
Yeah. But. Good idea.
Okay. I'm going to ask you a question about birds. Birds
aren't real. Isn't that funny? Mm-hmm. That's a funny thing.
Well, I mean, is that the joke in the new Matrix movie about that robot bird? Is that the joke about that? Oh, yeah.
Spoiler. I don't remember that.
There's a robot bird. Well, you know, it's like the
robot bird.
A coyote or whatever.
Oh, that's what I thought. It was like a stingray.
Yeah, I thought it was too.
Yeah.
It's got like a bird head.
It does have a bird head. Yeah. You're absolutely right, though.
Kyle made that joke. She's like, what is this? A birds aren't real joke? And I was like, birds is my category. What kind of North American blackbird features an iridescent head in adults and is referred to as a plague when speaking of a group? What kind of North American blackbird features an iridescent head in adults and is referred to as a plague when speaking
it's
of
crows,
a
crows, right?
Crows are a murder, right?
Yeah. Oh, murder of crows.
Yeah.
Ravens?
Ravens. Yeah, I would say, I was thinking when you said iridescent, the first bird I think of is raven.
of grackle.
But they said when they speak. Is that what you said?
What?
When they speak?
No, it's they're referred to as a plague when speaking of a group. When you're referring to a group. Yeah.
It's called a term of venery.
Yes. The collective noun.
Mm-hmm. I'm surprised you didn't bust out that you loved using that term for a while.
Well, you gave me a little like you're overdoing it with the terms of venery. I felt a vibe, so I was like, I'll lay off it for a little bit. But I guess it has been about 100 episodes.
This is a great comeback. And it would be a great use of it.
But I will say terms of venery is usually it's like a hunting term. Collective noun you could also use for other things, but you know, you might hunt this particular bird, so a term of venery would be appropriate here.
Plague of grackle.
Yeah, I like raven because I think of plague. I think of that plague mask, and it looks like a raven. Like they have that big long beak, and it kind of looks like that.
What do you think?
Sure.
Okay, we're gonna say we're gonna say
raven. The raven.
Nevermore. We're gonna say raven.
No.
Oh. Oh, don't be grackle.
I'm sorry. Bobby.
Oh,
I'm
no.
I'm sorry. The answer is grackle. Oh. It was a grackle, a plague of grackle. I was like, holy shit.
Oh, sorry, Bobby.
Grandpa came down with a grackle.
Wow, damn, danced right on top of that one. This is going to be the theme of the episode, I can tell. We're going to mention the answer as a joke in each
hard
question.
It's hard to think that grackle would be the answer to something. It's such a weird name.
Yeah, when he said it, I was like, holy shit.
This motherfucker is going to say grackle.
Oh, my God.
I've never seen a grackle.
You have.
They have an iridescent head.
100% have seen a grackle.
Yes,
100%.
Oh, yeah. They're all
just
over
thought it was a crow. Oh, okay.
Maybe you thought it was a raven.
Yeah. Maybe I did.
Look at that raven. It was like, fuck you.
They're like smaller than a crow. They make annoying noises.
Okay. Like they're such a plague. Maybe.
I should have really trusted my gut.
Yeah.
But the joke was there. I had to take it.
So my first question, what country has the largest postal system in the world, boasting more than 155,000 post offices and 5 million postal workers?
What country?
Country.
I got two countries that come to mind. China and India.
I was going
to
say India, maybe, or just going by population.
Yeah. That's what I was thinking, too.
Huh. Mark? Should we make a joke about it?
I think we should probably go with
it. Those are two of my top five. The other reason, the other country I thought of was Australia. And I don't know why. I guess because it's a whole country.
Mm-hmm.
And it's also a continent.
Yeah. But they mostly are like condensed.
People. Yeah, I was going to say, but coast? I don't think there are that many people. Russia?
A lot of land.
Would be something else. Secrets. Yeah, it might be another... A lot of letters.
A lot of secrets in there.
A A lot of Cold War stuff.
Everybody's like, yeah, government mandated to work in the postal service there. It's like, I need to give this to my friend. Somebody told me to.
But I think it would. I think when you really break it all down, I think that China and India are two of the best guesses.
But...
No, I mean, I think...
Well, those... we like to play devil's advocate sometimes just to suss out, you know, other potential answers. We're just a couple of
30 to 40-year-old white men. We can't help but play devil's advocate. Well, actually...
This is probably This is the one place where it's safe to do
that. Yeah, exactly, yeah. Where we're not doing it to gaslight someone.
How many did you say? How many workers were there?
155,000 post offices and 5 million postal workers.
That
China sounded pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
Big land,
big people.
See, I was going to say that India is bigger.
Can't lose.
That made me think that it would make sense to have more post offices because of how big India is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like you don't need a post office on every street corner.
Right.
India's bigger than China?
I think so.
I don't know.
India is pretty huge, isn't it?
China's doing all right for itself, right?
China ain't no slouch.
China knows what it's doing.
I'm not sure, actually, which one's bigger. I think China's bigger.
Really? Wow. I mean, I'm not saying that I can't be wrong, but I think of India as being like one of the biggest countries.
Well, I am a history major.
India stretches out.
You know geography.
I did do U.S. Civil War history, so India might just.
Well, I'm fine with going with China if you guys want to do that.
I don't know if I want to do that.
I don't know. Hong Kong. I don't
think I Are you willing to bet on it?
Whoa, Hong Kong's not part of it.
Wait, where's Hong Kong? Or wait, what am I thinking of?
Tibet? Is that what you're thinking of?
No.
Yeah. Oh.
I don't know.
I mean, China wants
what
you
is
to
the
think
most
it.
What is the most dense city or the most populated city? Is it Tokyo?
This is a question right inside of
there's a question with no answers.
I'm not
Tokyo
sure.
Tokyo is massive.
Yeah.
You spent some time there, right?
Yeah, I don't know if it's dense.
I don't know. I think Mark is on to something. It's the way that they're shaped, you know, in my head. It makes it seem like India is bigger because it stretches out like a sea star almost. But, nice. But I'm not sure if it is or not.
That's a term of
10 stomachs.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. I'm kind of attracted to India.
Me too.
Because... It seems like it's more spread out. You would need
it's not the United
offices.
States, is it?
I mean, it could be. Ooh. Maybe we're just overlooking that.
You son of a bitch.
Guys, what about right here?
It's possible. I feel like I jumped over that like it's too obvious. I didn't even bring it up, you know, but it's definitely possible.
5 million workers? Is that what it is?
Like, 5 million postal
five
workers.
5 million workers?
5 million of the 300 million? Is anyone math?
Oh,
five I mean, of 300 is what percentage? Does the Postal Service employ that many people?
No.
Yeah.
That's a lot of people.
That's a lot of people.
I mean, you need to keep the system running every day.
How many people live here?
300 million, right? 330 million in the US?
That sounds right. Sure.
Ish.
And I mean, and then by that, what about Canada?
Drag them. What about Canada?
Fuck them. Canada.
Where's their postal service?
I don't know, man. You got me messed up now with these late
Brazil
late shots. Sure. I mean, it could be any of these. We don't know the answer. I mean, it's I would rank these
guys.
Probably...
I actually know the answer.
All right, let's hear it. Oh. Funny joke.
I mean,
everybody laugh.
I don't know.
Could Can we hear the question States? One more time?
Give it to us.
What country has the largest postal system
largest.
In the world?
In the world.
In the world, boasting more than 155,000 post offices and 5 million postal workers.
I'm leaning towards China or the U.S. here, and the reason mainly towards U.S. and the reason being is not only those stats, I feel like they fit, because that's probably like, what, 1%, 1.5% of the population?
Yeah, yeah.
And mail volume, junk mail, all the stuff that goes through the mail system in the U.S., you're going to need a lot of people shuffling all that through. I wonder if there's as much junk mail in India or Canada as the U.S.
And I just don't know how they categorize their postal service. Do they have something you'd consider a postal service? Is it just something entirely?
Also, he said, what country boasts? And no one boasts like the United States, baby.
We're the boasters.
Are you fucking kidding
me?
We
are the best.
To use the boasters. Word, to use the word boast is a very United Statesian.
That's us.
Should we say United States?
I think we USA. Should. That way it's
USA.
India. Okay. So say United States, then real quick right after you say India.
The United multiverse. States.
That is incorrect.
India.
Oh. India has also...
Oh, my fucking God. Are you kidding me? God.
It also has one of the world's highest post offices and polling stations located in Hakim at 14,400 feet.
I knew it.
Hakim in Himachal Pradesh.
Oh, my
God. God.
Wow.
Well, are Wonderful. We ever gonna, are we going to learn our lesson by the end of the episode is the question.
Let's march forward.
Mm-hmm. Also, I think Russia is the largest, then China, then India. And but China has the most people.
Right.
But they don't have, I don't think they have as big of a postal system there. Okay. It's also separated basically by like the east side, and then there's like a giant desert, and then there's the northwest side, where all the Uyghurs were.
Mm.
Wow. Are, I guess.
Yeah, they're still are, there. Yeah. Yeah, don't erase them.
Not yet.
Yeah.
China's trying, though.
All right, here's your next question. The vast majority of international and top-level men's decathlons are divided into how many days of competition?
Two for each day? Five? Decathlon? That means 10, right?
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. So you do a morning set and then an afternoon set, maybe. Or do some of these take a whole day in and of themselves? I don't know what's in a decathlon. Probably running, I imagine.
A lot of running.
Cycling, shooting.
Mm-hmm. Skiing of sorts,
maybe. Skiing.
Did you say shooting?
I said shooting. Twice. We're up to four.
They could, mm-hmm. They could also do like multiple at like, you know,
three
like
a day.
One person does one thing and then they, like they all happen at the same time. Mm. But like...
It's a team?
But it's like a... Well, no, it's just like... One per like let's say like one person does shooting one day and then they for the first day, but then somebody else does swimming for the second day, and then they kind of like rotate. I don't know,
but like a triathlon you do in a day.
Yeah, but that the triathlon though is like it's more of a one-to-one competition where you're racing against other people. This aren't decathlons more of like a measurement of like a track and field situation where it's like you could points. Do javelin on Monday and then whoever at the end if you know has to beat that score. Like I'm not 100% sure. It's just possible in that particular sport because it's not because like triathlon is racing and racing you kind of have to do it all at once.
I can't see it going more than 5 days. Like that's a lot of performance, you know, to be asking someone to do 5 days in a row. You know?
Yeah, that is a lot.
So I'm thinking like 3 to 5, somewhere in there.
Sure.
That sounds I see good. What you're saying. I don't know how that impacts, you know,
because they're not all racing. It's not, I mean, there's like, you know, like javelin and, and I don't even know what sports are in a decathlon.
Do they throw a hammer?
Hammer toss,
hammer throwing?
Could all just be
shot put.
Just name random sports.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Lacrosse.
This is a question in
frisbee,
of itself.
Ultimate frisbee.
Name the 10 decathlon sports. That's a good final question, I think, for trivia.
Spoiler.
But
1 point per each.
Yeah, let's what do you think? 3 to 5 somewhere in there? Should we go 4, 3, 5?
Five sounds four, safe. It's just middle of the road. Day. Yeah, 2 a day.
Feels good.
Maybe 3 a day? So, you know.
So 3.5 days?
3 days? Well, you
rounded
know.
Up to 4.
You got to have the ceremonies, too, you know.
One more time the question, if you don't mind.
I asked that like Yoda.
One more question.
The vast majority of international and top-level men's decathlons are divided into how many days of competition?
I'm feeling three. I feel like more than that, you're getting burnt out.
Three, five, and ten.
I'm going four because I hate myself. And it doesn't make any sense.
Sure. I mean,
have we not learned our lesson? My gut
is three.
It's three.
Well, you said five first.
I know. Ooh. I'm just
five, just two, like, a day.
Name that tune.
Two a day. Yeah.
What if it's just one a day?
You could do them all in one day.
No, but like you do an event, you rest. Like you drag. Doesn't it happen to like so the 10 whole days. Olympics?
Yeah.
Like it's not a quick.
I'm not sure.
Yeah. I don't know either. I'm making things up.
The decathlon isn't really part of the Olympics. The decathlon is an entirely different thing, isn't it?
I thought there were decathlons in the Olympics.
I think so. He's saying the top tier and echelon, implying that, I mean, I'm sure just like at every other Olympic sport, they have their own competitions and categories. So it's possible it's both.
Mm.
You know, they have like, you know, the events that they do all the time.
Mm-hmm,
and then they have, you know, the best of the best go to the Olympics every 4 years.
I'll say three.
They have an event, they're getting people together, 14 days, have some rest days, some party days.
Yeah. Two whole weeks.
You think that, week event.
You think it's a 2 week event? We've gone from 10 That's days to 14 days.
Yeah.
Maybe seven. 7 days. I mean,
7 days of competition?
7 days.
But
1 week to compete.
But 10 days is very nice and
10 sounds even. Great.
10 is very even.
One for each sport.
Yeah. You know, and
you gotta imagine it's not, you don't just like turn around when you're done with one and go to the other. You have to go to a different location probably. Like,
yeah, true. Yeah. That is a good point. There's location. Yes. You gotta secure them and make sure that people know where they're going and.
I'm back up to five.
I imagine the most you do is two a day.
Back up to five now.
Yeah, the most. That sounds about right. Yeah. I mean,
three might be too short.
Physically, you could probably do them all in like 2 or 3 days.
I mean, I could.
But you could probably do them all in one day, depending on what the competition is. But it's not about the athletes. It's about logistics.
Yeah. I'm going 7 days. 1 week of fun in the sun.
I mean, that's as good a guess as any, but I just feel like seven.
At this point, it could be any number. Yeah. We've gone from like 1 to 14 days.
What's the one we said first?
Five.
Five. Was...
So that's going to be the answer.
Okay.
Yeah.
Let's do it.
I mean, we owe it to ourselves. Let's at least try this theory.
Let's
turn into the storm at this point.
Yeah. Five.
Sorry, that's incorrect.
Oh!
100 meters, the long jump. The shot put, the high jump, the 400 meters are all done on the first day.
Second
day, 110 meters hurdles, discus throw, pole vault, javelin throw, and the 1500 meters. 2 days.
Wow.
That makes sense. It's track and field. It's not like a triathlon where you go from like location to location. It's all in one location. Okay. It's a freaking field and a track.
2 day event.
That makes sense.
Alrighty. I just want a week off.
After that question, I want two. All right. Let's see here. My second question for you all is this question about furniture.
Okay.
What is the French term for an upholstered sofa that is the shape of a chair, but long enough to support the legs?
Oh, I know. I know this, but I can't think of it. It's
chaise lounge.
But it's chaise lounge. Yeah, I think that's it. But that doesn't.
I mean, chaise is very French.
Yeah,
it sounds good.
Lounge. Yeah, chaise
lounge.
I was thinking
lounge, but you made it French.
Oh, chaise lounge.
That's got to be it. What is it?
Well, the first thing I was thinking, but it's not right, is armoire. But that's like a stand, right?
That's like a piece of furniture.
Yeah,
That's like an armoire.
Yeah, but you don't sit on it.
No,
I mean you could. Just wouldn't be comfortable.
Yeah, I think it's chaise lounge.
I think that's right.
100%.
And I think it stands for lounge chair or something like that, you know.
I don't know that.
We're going to say chaise lounge.
No, I'm sorry. That is partially correct.
Motherfucker! Oh, it feels so weird inside.
It's a chaise longue. A chaise longue. A chaise lounge.
Wait, what?
Listen, a
chaise. No.
Yeah.
Holy, don't piss me off, buddy.
Here we go.
Chaise lounge is a folk etymology replacement of part of the original French term with the unrelated English word lounge.
Oh, come on.
It's a long chair, not a lounge chair, a long chair. Now, I'll tell you, hold on. Don't take it personally.
I'm allowed to look at my friend Bobby.
Well, I want your feedback on this. I did leave off this part of the question when I asked
Motherfucker.
It. You might have anticipated, Mark. I feel like you gave me this look
I saw you.
That question ended back. Abruptly.
Yeah.
So the parentheses that I had originally asked was, which translates into long chair from its native language. So that might be a little extra detail that you want to use to avoid this kind of a situation. And that's why I did that. I wanted to see, is this going to be the difference maker?
Very interesting.
We're doing a service here, Mark. This is a service to our quizmasters that listen.
Okay.
He's taking it personally.
I just got to say, Bobby did bring up, and I would be remiss if I did not mention playing Scattergories with friends of mine who the letter was R. And things that you may see at a party in a red solo cup was mentioned, and I lost my mind because using descriptors like that, I was like, there's also yellow solo cups, there's also green solo cups, there's also blue solo cups. You can't use a color as a qualifier.
I've really only seen red at parties, really. I mean, that's
red
solo cup.
There's like
before the song. You won't like trust me, when the song came out, like three or four people messaged me and was like, you hear the song? And I was like, fuck you.
Yeah, it's I think it's iconic enough that it's like the sense of like a Kleenex or a Band-Aid. Like, red solo cup is, to me, like,
it's ubiquitous.
Exactly. It's so ubiquitous. If you go to other countries and you
go to break,
you go to the
we still have one more question.
I know.
Yeah, and you go to the American section of a grocery store in a non-American country. They literally have, they call red solo cups, they call them, it's called red party cups.
Yeah.
So it's like, you know, it's nice. That iconic.
Yeah. They might not also be solo brand cups.
They're probably not. No, but
so like, I guess you just put red cups from here on out. Just red cups.
I'm there. In my red cups.
I understand. I know. I Listeners, understand your you umbrage think? On I'm the sure on the answer, but it's just so much fun to see how upset you get.
Over Read your fucking question.
Chaise longue.
Where we go?
Until the mid 1980s, it was believed that babies cannot do what?
Kind of hate this question.
Oh, is it something like feel pain, where they didn't give him like certain medicines before surgery?
It could be that could be something to do with circumcision, because I know that for a while people thought that circumcisions didn't actually hurt because the babies wouldn't cry, but they were actually stunned by the amount of pain or something weird like that.
Hmm.
Feel circumcisions?
Really specific.
Yeah, very bizarre answer.
Feel the first snip of a circumcision. But
I want you to remember that was my answer, because if it ends up being right.
But he said babies, not like
boys.
You know, oh, that's boys. True.
You know,
that's
assigned true. To that's birth.
True. Mid-80s, what was the question again?
Until the mid-1980s, it was believed that babies cannot do what?
Look up.
Make memories?
Maybe that's it.
Look up.
Foreign memories. You said that in a way of like Plague of Grackles. So now I'm scared. You said look up. Like, look up.
And then we're just like gonna, dog thing.
We're
right?
going to go. Yeah. Okay. That's what it is. I knew it was something. Like, I was like, what familiar. Is going on there? Make memories. What about the Nirvana baby? Like, is it like breathing underwater or something? Can babies, did they have like that weird ability? Like,
what?
No, newborns. Like
I understand that part. That's not the they part can't that breathe underwater. Me. Like, they have gills.
What the fuck? Are you no wait, he's on. Right he's on to something. Let's play this out.
You said that like Grackles. You said that babies could breathe underwater like Grackles.
I don't know where I heard that. That's probably not true.
I can't believe I would even bring that up.
The Little Mermaid
breathe underwater. I thought it was something like, you know, it's like the amniotic sac or something.
Oh my god!
They still
god.
Got that. They can like bust it out. And the that's a Pokemon or something.
I hope that's the answer.
Oh, me too.
With all hopes.
Making memories. I think it's probably
what do you think?
More.
It's memories or pain. I don't know what. I feel like I've heard the pain thing maybe before.
I've heard that about fish.
Is that true?
From Nirvana yet again. Here we are.
Here we go again.
Fish can't feel pain.
Something in the way. The lyrics of Something in the Way.
Oh, never mind.
There you go.
Oh, whatever. Can I hear the question one more time?
Until the mid-1980s, it was believed that babies cannot do what?
So people think that babies can't do something until the mid-80s. And what
toddlers can do it, babies can't.
What changed in the 80s?
Yeah. Something to do with AIDS, mid-80s, like, I'm thinking of, like, health stuff, like, contracted diseases from their parents.
Babies can't, they can't do that.
They can't drive.
Oh, look at that. You can't do there that he goes. Television. Driving away. Car.
Popping the clutch.
Baby, you can drive my car.
Baby, I love you.
Beep, 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 yeah! I have no idea.
I think that maybe...
I mean, there's regarding
August,
the memory...
do you feel pain?
Regarding the memory thing, babies can definitely feel pain. I feel that's probably not... true. I lean more towards the memories thing.
Yeah,
because it's kind of a common trope. You don't remember anything from when you're a baby, do you? Like, people say that, you know, or like, oh, I didn't get my memory till later. But maybe they're just like recessed, you know, memories that exist. They got to be able to remember some stuff. They're building their mental framework of the world. That's all. They're all experience and like building it up. Can I breathe underwater? Can I not breathe underwater?
I don't know.
They're figuring these things out, and they're going to remember. They're going to remember. So I lean towards that.
Babies don't forget.
The memories?
Yeah.
We're going to say memories.
Memories. I think we went through the entire round without getting a single question correct. Did we? Did we not?
No, we did not.
This one is correct. Incorrect. Oh! It's incorrect. Oh. Sorry. You're right. You did it. Feel pain.
Are you fucking
son
mad?
Of bitches? I knew
are
it.
You fucking
I
joking?
Knew it.
So originally, infants and babies.
That pisses me off. They thought that babies. No. About society at large, that they thought babies couldn't feel pain. It's so obvious.
Well, I got a little information behind. Originally, infants and babies were believed to feel pain, but in the mid-19th century, babies' reactions were thought only to be reflexive. It wasn't until measuring hormonal and metabolic responses were they able to confirm the babies do in fact feel pain. During that time, babies were given muscle relaxers during surgeries only. During only muscle relaxants during surgeries, including open heart surgeries.
Mm-hmm. What the fuck?
Yeah. Until they
don't
were
bother.
Able to.
It's not even worth.
Until they were able to measure.
You said the
mid
20th century.
Yeah.
So it was like 30 years.
While we
from
were
1950
all alive.
To 1980.
We could have.
Could have happened to us.
Any
it
one of us.
Could have been you.
Yeah.
Look. I don't want to be, you know, generationalist here, but, here you know, look at those 30 years and then see where our country is right now. Babies can fucking feel pain.
Yeah.
Okay.
Quick, cut to break.
Jesus.
Cut to break.
All right. Let's take a little break. Let's acknowledge our pain from
holy
that round.
Holy shit.
And then we'll come back with some miscorrections and more trivia in round two. Okay, we're back, and it's time for some missed corrections.
Missed corrections. Bobby, thanks for nailing that.
Okay, great. I was harmonizing in the back.
All right, first up, we have a note here from Chris. Chris writes, gentlemen, first...
Crisp.
Thanks off. First off. First thanks off.
First thanks off.
First off, Thanks for the entertaining trivia. I'm trying to catch up on old episodes and look forward to the weekly updates on Monday. Don't worry, your 5-star review is forthcoming. However, episode 24. You remember episode 24, right, Mark?
No.
Over 100 episodes ago. Huey Lewis's Chode, the title of the episode
hell,
there.
Hell of an episode name.
Mark asks, quote, according to the Environmental Working Group, what fruit ranks highest in pesticide residue levels?
I asked.
You did. You asked that question.
Okay. And what, I'll tell you the answer.
Strawberries? I don't know.
Well, let's continue here. According to Mark, the correct answer is the apple, but I always thought and researched that the answer is the strawberry.
Oh! Yeah, I know.
Probably likely due to its soft exterior, and I'd assume its ability to absorb contaminants greater than the thicker skinned and more bulbous apple. I've provided the link to EWG and two additional sites that cite the, quote, Dirty Dozen list. Have a great holiday, Chris. Mm. So just a little miscorrection there from episode 24 for anybody who just jumped from that episode and then to this one like Chris is doing. Got a little extra info there. It's the strawberry. And then we also...
Thank you, Chris.
We also have a voicemail here.
Hello there. No nonsense trivia. My name's Nat Newton. I love women. I hope you had an excellent Christmas holiday and you spread the joy and love of Jesus Christ himself, who looks down upon you every day. I have a little trivia fact here for you, if you don't mind. Did you know that the reason why the sky is blue is because Earth, the blessed flat Earth, is one of God's eyeballs. He has circles for eyes, not spheres. That's just a scientific fact. My name's Nat Newton.
Scientific
Happy holidays. Nat Newton. I hope you guys have a good new year. And I love women.
He really wants us to know that he loves women for some reason.
I wonder if he...
Nat Newton said, listener Nat Newton, the sky is blue because Earth... The blessed flat Earth is one of God's eyeballs.
So our eyes flat?
He has circles for eyes, not spheres. That's a scientific fact. Okay. I'm not sure about that.
Every day.
You could miscorrect us if you need to, folks, but I'm just going to express my doubt on that one. But thank you, Nat, and thank you, Chris, and everybody who reached out to us this week. If you would like to write us with a missed correction, a rate my question, or even just a little no-note, nonsensetrivia@gmail.com is the link. Or you could call us at 1-929-356-6966. And if you have yet to do so, please take a moment to review our show on Apple, Podchaser, and Good Pods, as well as now you can review our show on Spotify.
Yes,
for the first time they've introduced that. You can rate us 5 stars on Spotify.
5 stars only, please.
Yes.
And I did rate us.
And I thank you.
And I don't want to give it away too much on what I rated us, but I did rate us 5 stars.
True to form.
If I may, I'll also go ahead and give myself a two-time shout out. I was mentioned on an episode of The Flagrant Ones. They had a thing where you could put in team name requests for a fake basketball team they were going to make jerseys for. Mine was the team? Austin Bryan Greens.
Oh, okay. Yeah, from 90210.
Funny. Mm-hmm. And then also...
Wait, is it Brian Austin Green or Austin Bryan?
His name is Brian Austin Green, but you have Austin to do a city. Yeah, so the Austin Bryan Greens. I got a chuckle out of that. Yeah. And then also reposted by Cake, doing a mashup of "Twas the Night Before Christmas" and "The Distance."
Ah, yes.
And they were kind enough to repost it on their page.
Amazing!
That's awesome.
And you can also Facebook users, you can go see that video in our group.
Yeah, you posted it in there. Thank you kindly.
All right,
fun times.
Are we ready for our second round of trivia?
I'm ready.
I'm ready.
Shit,
you're Bobby. Ready. Feel these nipples.
I have a graphic design question to kick off round two. In type design, what is the term for the space between any two characters?
Kerning, right?
Yeah.
I feel good about this.
I'm gonna agree with you on that one.
Kerning. Oh, I feel pretty good about this.
Dang. Should we throw another dangerous thing out there? Yeah, it'll be the right one.
So that way kerning is right. Could it be font space?
Ooh.
Mm.
That's a good one.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure it's kerning. God damn, yeah. I hope it
your
is.
Your gut's saying it.
Kerning is, I don't know. I'm about 95, 96% positive.
We're going to say right. Kerning.
That's correct.
Yes, finally.
Yes, we broke the streak.
God
well
damn.
Done. Well done.
Oh,
a nice way to kick off round two.
Yeah, did you just give this? Was that a dangler?
No, it wasn't. I thought that Eric might know, but I didn't know that you were going to jump right on that one.
The juicy dangler.
The juicy dangler.
The only 4%, 5% margin of error was if it was something fancier. Like, kerning is the popular term, but what I was looking for, no. You know, that's all I was going to I'm mean, like, maybe there's something more.
If it's right, I'm going to accept it, yeah, even okay, if it's not okay. The most popular. Yeah. But I will
like
say.
Like Chase Lounge.
Well, that's not, I mean, that's a totally different situation right there. It's a totally different situation. But yeah, letting is another popular graphic design term, but that's the space between lines mm-hmm. of text, mm-hmm. not in between the individual characters themselves.
Mm-hmm. Here's your next question. Mm-hmm. How many weapons are there in the classic game Clue? Hmm. How many weapons are there?
A rope? Candlestick?
Oh, you're naming them.
Mm-hmm.
That's the best way to go, right?
It took you to the second one to realize.
Oh, we're going down it.
Revolver, he said rope, revolver, and you're like, why rope? Is this man just saying rope?
Why
just,
rope? What,
he already said get rope. Something. He said candlestick. You said yep. revolver.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Knife. I'm
knife.
Out.
Yep.
Knife.
Lead pipe.
Lead yep. pipe.
Good one.
Monkey paw?
What? I wish that'd be no? awesome. No,
what clue is he playing? We're playing they do regional have different dialects versions, of Clue. Yeah.
So, and one more for good luck.
Oh, six? Yeah, six sounds like a good even number because I mean, there's what? How many players? There's eight mm-hmm. players. There's
so there's got to be like right? one for each player. If there's or eight, six, then it's eight.
Or is there six players? There's six players. Six rooms.
There might be more than. There's definitely more than six rooms. There might be six main rooms and then mm-hmm. hallways and
yeah.
trapdoors and such.
Shoot some eyes.
I feel six is probably a good number.
So what would be the last one?
Eight.
Rope?
Six.
Six.
Well, yeah. Okay, we need three more weapons then.
I'm out. Name any,
okay, I mean, I'm willing to acknowledge I forgot much. One. But.
What have I done? yeah, so what's the knife, candlestick, rope, revolver mm-hmm. pipe. What would be the other one?
We're handkerchief.
Missing. Handkerchief. No. What do you kill people with? Pipe? No, I mean not yep, pipe, yep, but a wrench.
Mm. A wrench?
Maybe? No.
Yeah.
With the wrench?
Yeah.
Poison? No.
That sounds good.
Knife. Colonel Mustard with the wrench? I don't know if that rings a bell. Yeah. Mm. Professor
Colonel
Plum.
Colonel Mustard would never.
Professor Plum with the wrench. Mrs. White.
Didn't they also recently change
they did.
Players? Yeah, Mrs. you guys talked about this
Mrs.
in a previous
White
episode.
Was replaced by a doctor.
Dr. White.
The maid, I think. Kevorkian. I think they replaced the maid with a doctor.
Because a maid could never kill somebody. That's so woke.
Drag them.
Drag them, sweetie.
I think it's six. I can't name drag the last one, indeed. But I find it
five.
I find it hard to believe that it would be five.
Oh.
Yeah, six seems like a good even number.
Yeah, let's go with it. Six.
It's going to completely just steamrolled over you.
What?
He was like five. And you're like, don't think it could be five.
I know.
And then you guys reconfigure. You're like, it's like six and Bobby's over there.
It's five.
Hey, Quizmaster, stay out of our sus.
So, okay. I mean, you make a good point. I mean, so you don't have to, there's no sixth weapon. I mean, we can't think of one. So, I mean, that is a good point. But we're just saying six because it sounds even, and there's like eight rooms, right? There's like at least eight rooms.
Is it one for each room though? Is it eight?
I don't think it's one for each room.
I don't think there's like a correlation between the numbers.
Number of players, number of rooms, number of weapons.
I don't think they're all the same.
Yeah, I don't think they're all the same.
Because you don't need them to be the same to play the game. Hmm? You already have a certain amount of configurations that you can make.
Hmm. Don't know how you play.
Well, I don't know how you play
with the monkey paw.
Well, I'd like to join that game. So Bobby, you want to go with five?
No,
you're telling me you want to go with five.
Nope, I'm out.
Let's six. Go with six then.
Six.
Okay, six.
Six is correct.
Yes.
Yeah.
The candlestick, the dagger, the lead pipe,
dagger.
The revolver, the rope, and the monkey wrench.
Oh, monkey wrench, monkey not wrench. Monkey's paw, yeah, monkey's and not paw. Wrench.
The monkey wrench.
Nine rooms, kitchen, ballroom, conservatory, dining room, lounge, hall, study, library, and billiard room. Nine rooms. And, of course, also six characters. Miss Scarlet, Reverend Green, Colonel Mustard, Professor Plum, Mrs. Peacock, and Mrs. White.
Okay.
Well, we're going to ace this.
Well, round. That's the original cast. Again, they've redone it now. Indeed. I think one has been removed and swapped.
And the murder victim in the game is known as Dr. Black.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And Dr. Orchid, I think, is the name of the new character.
Oh, that might be right. Fro?
The James Webb Telescope, just launched on Saturday, is literally one cool telescope, requiring a temperature of below 50K to operate, which is cold enough to make nitrogen liquefy. Sorry. Its orbit will have to be so much further than its predecessor, Hubble, so not to be warmed by what solar system object?
It's not the sun. It can't be that easy, can it? Doesn't that create all the warmth, though?
I mean, that's what I would think.
Well, there are a few planets that actually emanate more heat than they get from the sun. One of which is Jupiter.
Where people get more stupider.
Neptune. And Saturn. All of those planets emanate more heat. And when you're sending out a telescope, you want to put it out as far as possible. So I would think that would be Neptune.
Neptune. Where's Neptune getting its heat from, though?
It's a weird thing that
geothermal?
I can't remember exactly how it happens, but Uranus is the odd one out there. It's actually colder.
Sick.
It's colder than the others, but the other three, there's for some reason it's like.
That's why Daddy's gonna warm it up.
They have a theory. Nice. It's mysterious. I can't explain it.
Yeah,
Neptune would be my guess.
Roberto.
I guess Neptune.
It's the farthest one.
I feel dumb. Do we know how far out Hubble is?
I don't, but he did say it's within our solar system. So to me, there's, you know, the eight planets and then our sun.
I always thought they just circled the Earth. Am I wrong?
Well, maybe from like a really far. I mean, it's a telescope, so you want to like launch it as far as possible so you can see as far as possible.
Is that what they're doing?
Yeah. And I called this a satellite on Twitter, and then I had to go back and like star asterisk myself. I meant to say telescope because it is. It is a type of satellite, but I don't think it's, you know, it's
the
more
moon is a satellite.
It's more of a telescope is the bigger distinction.
Mm-hmm.
In my eyes. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Is that coming up on Lyrics to Go soon?
Oh, it should. Yeah, man, I don't know. I feel stupid calling you out and saying it's not Neptune and then it being fucking Neptune. So I'm fine with saying Neptune, I guess. It doesn't make any sense to me.
I would say it's either Neptune, Saturn, or Jupiter.
And Saturn or Jupiter, I think,
makes more sense. But my rationale is that it's further out, you know?
Yeah, okay. We'll say Neptune.
So the telescope is going out far, but not that far. Super far. So yeah. No, it's wrong. Don't be sorry. It is Earth. They are trying to, because, so, an enormous five-layer sun shield reflects as much sunlight away as possible, shielding it behind the layer beneath it. So, there's this giant diamond-shaped, like, shield that's protecting it from the sun's heat, but, and then on the other side, it's you know, protected that way. But, the Earth's own infrared heat is enough, even through vacuum, is enough to or the near vacuum is enough to cause the telescope to heat up beyond operational temperatures.
Is that heat that it gets from the sun, though?
I would imagine. I don't know. Maybe. I know we do generate our own heat. The hottest planet, though, is Venus.
I was thinking Venus might be a possible answer.
Yeah. But I mean, you're absolutely right. All the planets generate, I don't think Pluto generates any heat, but all of them, all the planets generate some sort of form of heat. And it's, well, maybe not Mars. I don't know, but I know Venus and Earth and, you know, they all have it. But yeah, the telescope requires a very low temperature to operate because of the type of technology it's using to, because it's, the Hubble is just visible light. And the James Webb Telescope is also other forms of light, and I think
infrared and stuff like that.
I think the main one is X-ray. I think is the most is. I think it has lenses and sensors for all of them, but the main focus is I think X-ray, and that will allow them to see beyond further than we've ever seen before. So in the next coming year, it's going to be pretty exciting.
That is
no nonsense telescope podcast.
Yeah.
Come to get all your.
I think that's interesting.
Yeah, it's, you know? It's amazing.
And telescope. I'm sorry, I oversussed on that one. I got real excited about Neptune fact.
Your logic was sound, but
it's fine. Yep. Am I next?
I believe so.
Sure.
Jesus, I feel like I just asked a question.
Did you?
What did you ask?
Yes, the kerning or whatever. Mm-hmm.
Oh, it's you again then.
It is. Oh, okay. Yeah. Mm. My bad. A beer question.
Mm.
Beer. The term stout is used interchangeably with what other type of well-hopped dark beer, which was first to be brewed globally and was named for its early appreciators? The term stout is used interchangeably with what other type of well-hopped dark beer, which was the first to be brewed globally and was named for its early appreciators?
Lager?
I was thinking, I mean, lager was the first thing lager. I thought of.
That sounds.
I don't drink, but I hear that together often. Like it a fits. Stout lager, do you have?
Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
But I also don't know beer.
I don't know beer terribly well either.
Are there any other beers?
But lager is the first thing that came to mind.
Yeah, that sounds good to me. It fits. I mean, logically, it works.
We're gonna say lager.
No.
Should have talked it out.
I'm sorry. The correct answer is a porter. A porter.
Okay. I would have never gotten that. Yeah.
A lager is a light type of beer, not a dark type of beer, and not particularly well hopped either. But a porter and a stout are terms pretty much interchangeably used for the same type of beer, as well as the it was the first to be brewed globally. So the porters that were like hauling the luggage and stuff basically like, this is the good shit right here.
Mm-hmm. That makes sense.
I'm a little beer pot, port and stout.
Yeah, there you go.
See what I did?
There you go.
All right.
I didn't know if you're going to pull that together.
Yeah, I barely did. What mineral whose name is derived from Greek for stone or mineral, which strikes fire, is also known as fool's gold? What mineral whose name is derived from Greek for stone or mineral which strikes fire is also known as fool's gold? Bobby.
How's it going?
Pretty good.
Nice.
I know sulfur is also yellowish, goldish color, but that's not a mineral per se. I mean, you can it can be like a combination. A mineral, I think, can be a combination of a couple of different elements, and that creates the mineral. But I don't know if
mineral.
I'm sure there's.
Well, you know, there's the Greek for fire is pyro, right?
Mm.
And I think there is a mineral called pyrite.
Pyrite, which
is also known as fool's gold.
Oh, that sounds.
Yeah, I'm not sure if it's good. I know pi is the first part. Have you heard of pyrite?
I have now.
Before now.
Yeah,
does that sound right?
It does sound familiar. Pyrite. Right. Yeah, pyrite.
A pirate. You're saying pirate. That's why it sounds familiar.
Oh, yes. That's right. Black Bart got me.
Does that have anything to do with Pyrex?
No, I don't think so. That's
Isn't that like the
cookware?
So good.
Cookware,
yeah. No, I think I don't know. I think, well, Pyrex, probably because it's meant to go into an oven.
Yeah.
That's probably why it's named that.
Yeah.
I think it's pyrite. I think it's pyrite.
Pyrite.
Yar.
Pyrite
is our
pyrite
answer.
Pyrite is correct.
Yeah.
There you go.
All right. That's when I know Seth was screaming in his car right there.
Mm-hmm. There you go.
Or and if we got it wrong.
I think they're still here. They're just.
Oh, okay.
No, they left.
Oh, they did?
Oh.
A
while ago. He gave you the finger.
Oh. Nice.
Okay.
My turn.
Your last question, right?
Thiamine is also known as which vitamin?
Thiamine.
Can you spell
thiamine?
It?
T-H-I-A-M-I-N-E. Thiamine is also known as which vitamin?
Vitamin T.
Nice.
For thiamine. Well, is it, we have A, B, vitamin C.
B6, B12.
Vitamin D is sunshine, right? So it's not that.
Don't steal it.
Vitamin C and is K. Orange juice.
All right, so it's not that.
K is potassium.
So I don't think it's that. B is, I mean, B is like, there is not just one vitamin B, right? There's like a whole class of vitamins, I think, under B.
B6, B12.
Yep. So it could be that.
It also could be something like iron. Oh, like not a letter, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like it could be like another name for... Yeah.
I could also give you a small hint if you guys want it.
You don't say.
Here's a question. Why didn't you just put that hint in the original question?
Because it was part of the original answer. It's just, I'm expanding the answer.
I don't know what that means.
I'm just like, it just basically tells you what it does is
what it is.
What,
so you feel like it gives it away?
No, not really. It's just, I just thought like, what does it do? Like if anybody wanted to know, what does this particular vitamin / thiamine, does, you know, I didn't know what it did until I saw it.
Is iron a vitamin or is it a mineral? I think that's a mineral.
I mean, you can take it as like a vitamin supplement.
Yeah, but that's not a, that's, I feel like that's a vitamin and mineral supplement.
Definition of vitamin.
Okay.
I wonder if, because they say, you know, take your vitamins and minerals. All right, man.
Vitamin E?
I don't know if there is an E.
There is.
There is?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm. It's thiamine.
Is it?
I don't know.
Every time.
It is definitely, vitamin E is definitely a thing. Answer boy is telling you.
Well,
I'm just... Answer boy. He's more than an answer boy, okay? Give this man a little respect.
That's all he is on this round. He's an answer boy.
Question answer boy.
He said he's an
Bring
answer
me
boy.
Bring me my answer boy.
Yeah, sure.
He said, see a Lancer boy.
Sure.
Well, what do you guys think? I'm going with A, B, or apparently E. I mean, I'm not going to discount it just because I'm not familiar with it.
Thiamine?
I am. Are you giving the hint or no hint?
Apparently no hint.
We rolled out the hint?
Yeah.
Okay. Do you want the hint?
It probably,
you're our guest.
It's probably not really going to help.
You can't put the hint back in. That's the thing.
It's probably not going to help. That's why I didn't
put the genie back in the bottle.
Can't put the hint back in the question.
In the words of They Might Be Giants, can't shake the devil's hand and say you're only kidding.
That's so true in this context.
It is, isn't it?
But give us the hint anyway.
All right.
We're going to shake the devil's hand.
Jesus Christ. There's no rules.
That was a point. What is this, the Outback?
So
just right.
Thiamine is used to treat beriberi, which is a tingling, or is it beriberi? I don't know. I didn't look up how to say it. It's a tingling and numbness in the feet and hands for muscle loss and poor reflexes caused by a lack of thiamine in the diet. It's also a treat to prevent Wernicke-Korsakoff syndrome, which is... basically the same thing.
That is no help to me.
Okay, we take the hint back.
I told you it wasn't really much of a hint.
This question?
I just thought maybe it was like, oh yeah, I remember I took this particular vitamin. Just in the small chance that any of you or had you yourself or knew someone who had to take this. And
here she come now, got that berry. Boom, boom, boom.
So it might be berry. I don't know.
What kind of...
berry.
What kind of vitamin is she taking? So this
E.
So it's as a result of a dietary loss of.
Well, then maybe it's C. Scurvy.
Does that produce a tingly sensation?
I don't know. It's scurvy. And I don't know.
Sure.
I mean, it's something that you need.
Besides D, all of these I think are dietary.
D.
Besides nice. Vitamin D.
Hey, if any ladies need some vitamin D,
call Quizmaster M.
Mark Davis. Mr. Sun.
I don't know, man.
That scurvy sounding pretty good.
We can go with C. I'm not sure.
Let's go with
it's
C.
It's on my list.
Fuck it.
It's E.
Wrong. It's vitamin
B1. B1. What? Oh, okay.
Now, I will say there's no way we're going to guess B1. I think if we went B. Now, would you have accepted vitamin B?
I guess, sure, why not?
Wow.
It doesn't
rules are lax.
It doesn't really matter at this point.
I'm guessing there's a nothing matters.
Well, I did say that B was a whole class of vitamins. So yeah. I feel like that's totally acceptable to specify B1.
Yeah, technically, because if I was
different
like,
than what, B12.
Yeah, if B6. You took
B6, is B different than B1 is my question.
I guess. Yeah, if B is took, a class of vitamins.
If you vitamins. Took B6, you could still get beriberi.
Mm-hmm. There's no just like, you know,
are vitamin B. Are you sure B. that's true, or are you just saying that?
I don't know. I really don't. I'm not a doctor, but I'm going
to... Is there a difference between vitamin B and vitamin B1?
Yes. There's no plain vitamin B. You can't get the normal variety.
It's one of 8 B vitamins.
There we go.
Mm-hmm.
Damn.
I love that there's 8 and it goes up to 12.
It's just fucking numbers.
Yeah. That's... I don't know if it is.
All right. Well, that's round 2. We've improved slightly.
Yeah, got a couple right. Yeah. Right?
We're going to come back in round 3 with Rate My Question, and then we'll have our final round of questions.
Mm.
All right, we're back, and it's time for a Rate My Question.
Rate My Question.
Just completely.
What is this production value?
Bobby probably listened to one episode in like 2014, and now he's like, I don't know what any of this is. Your poor headphones. This poor man, just hold it.
They told me at a Guitar Center, they were like,
you're going to want to buy insurance on these. You're going to run over them with your chair, and they're going to stop working. And I'm like, nope, I'm good. I don't need insurance. I'll just be very careful with my chair.
Yeah, nope. Yep,
all right.
They know what they're doing.
And then real life hits.
Should have bought that insurance. We have a Rate My Question here from Miles Amaral.
Mm.
Miles Amaral. Miles writes, hey guys, was trying to workshop this question by including enough information but not being too wordy. This is what I've come up with. Derived from a Japanese art form. What is the portmanteau to describe an NFL game's final point combination that has never before occurred in the league's history? Derived from a Japanese art form. What is the portmanteau to describe an NFL game's final point combination that has never before occurred in the league's history? Now, this is a tough question. It's got a lot of ins, a lot of outs. Got to think about it a little bit because it's coming at you from multiple ways. Japanese art form.
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
It's derived from that. Mm-hmm. It's a portmanteau, and it's used to describe a very rare event, a point combination in NFL that's never happened before.
So I know they just had one of these. They just had
so a score
that had never been, I think, a ending score before.
Oh, so this is a current events type thing, you think?
Yeah, sort of. Yeah.
All right, so it's not even fair to say that it's never occurred. It's previously has never occurred up until this recent moment.
Or maybe they wrote it before it occurred.
By never.
But they
previously to this point ever.
No, they didn't. It says it's never before occurred. That means never before occurred.
Well, they may have written it before it occurred, too. So
I guess that would be an incredible coincidence to just like get that question crazy right beforehand. Either way, I think that it would need an update, but let's focus on the answer here.
Yeah, I'm kind of hung up on what you're saying, but okay, yeah.
It says it's never occurred, so if it happened 2 weeks ago, then it has occurred. And it says it should be a date or something.
But it's a term for whenever that happens.
Yeah, never occurred to that point.
Yeah, to that point. So like, this game ended in a 2:15 score. That score has never occurred before. It's a blah 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 blah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
it's just a name for every time that happens. It's like, do you understand what I'm saying?
No, because to me, if it's happening,
but you understand what I'm saying.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's a term for whenever a score that's never occurred to that point.
Oh, this is not a specific score.
It's like
a
new marker. It's like, it's a.
Okay, this is not a specific. Blot.
Yeah, this has never occurred before. It's a ging blot. Now it's occurred. It can never happen.
I see. I took the question to mean like the score is like 12 to 34, and it's 1, 2, 3, 4, and that score specifically has never occurred before, and that has its own name. But you're saying this is a generic term for this event.
Mm. Yes.
Okay, I get it now.
For whenever that happens I got it. In All any right. given game.
Thank you.
Where they look back in the annals of history and go, never seen this one weird.
Well, I'm thinking Japanese art form, the first one, the most popular origami, that's the one like that most people know. Is origami. Mm-hmm. I mean, Japanese culture has hundreds of different forms of art, like
scoregami.
That's scoregami.
Like a folded that up score,
like it folds into itself, like a 4:16 or like
1-2-2-1.
Don't you dare
something
Don't
like you
encourage
that.
This,
yeah.
Scoregami. Wow, scoregami,
that's good. Yeah, I like that.
That's hard to deny. I don't think it's right, but it's hard to say no. That might be it.
Have you looked at the answer? Have you seen
no,
it?
No, I haven't.
Mm-mm. And it's a Japanese phrase.
It's derived from a Japanese phrase. Is what it is. It's a portmanteau, so it's two words put together.
Scoregami.
Like a suitcase.
Score and origami.
Mm-hmm. I like that.
Starting to feel a little bit better about it now, aren't you?
I don't know what it is, but...
but it's probably that.
Yeah.
The art forms that I had come up with were kabuki, woodblock prints.
That one. Mm-hmm.
But Kabuki's scoregami. Good. I mean,
yeah, it's probably.
I didn't think about origami. That even though that.
Yeah, there's also that art of like putting together pottery back together where you use gold, like gold and other like
gold glue,
pyrite,
like a gold glue of some sort to put together a pot, and like the symbolism is like. Once you put it back together, it's stronger than it was before.
Is bukkake an art form?
Yes.
What's your Depends. Answer?
Yes.
What's the football?
Depends.
score
ball cocky. Yeah.
Buskorky.
Blitz cocky.
I just don't get how origami translates in this.
Yeah.
Is it just because it's a fun Japanese word? They're like,
well, I guess maybe it has something to do with the numbers of the score, as in the fact that it's
like it's palindromic it folds into or something.
It. Yeah, like the score is like 4 and 16. Like those fold in like 16. Like 4 goes into 16.
But it can be any score that's ever happened. That's never happened.
Well, the point is that because in football, it's really hard to get 4 points. Like, because you would, like, the only way you can get 4 points is getting 2 safeties.
Right.
And the likelihood of getting 2 safeties is very rare. And that
But how does that, what does that have to do with origami, is his point?
Because it folds in, like, 4:16, like, 4 folds it's like into 16.
A prime number or something like
exactly.
that.
Exactly. Like, 4, like, 4 and 17 doesn't fold into each other.
But that could be the score.
But it wouldn't be a, fold, though. The fold would
that's
be
my point.
That's like kind of what he's saying. Like, it would be one thing if the art form had something to do with like, with you know, like chances or something like that. But origami has nothing to do with.
It has to do with folding.
It almost has to do with the exact opposite, because to fold it, you have to fold it a certain way to get a certain thing. It's not based on. Impossible, you know, like improbabilities and stuff.
Well, it's rarely ever to happen.
Origami?
So, no. That was part of the question. Dude. That was part of the rareness of it. I don't think is part of the name. It was just mentioned that it is something that has never happened because though technically you are able to get this odd number, this not necessarily an odd number, but this weird score is very hard to get because it requires like, you know, an extra point.
I feel like I'm losing my mind.
Well, that's the thing. This question, there's like a certain degree of ambiguity in the way that this question is written that promotes this kind of confusion and argument about what is...
question was designed to make you go mad.
Yeah. Just like origami.
I think we just need to go with scoregami, even though it makes no sense
to me.
It's
going to be scoregami.
It's like just the perfect portmanteau.
All right. Mm-hmm.
I don't see how it makes a lick of fucking sense, but maybe just look up the answer and tell me how
just
it makes sense.
Just end my suffering.
Okay, we're going to go with scoregami?
Yes, we're going to go with scoregami.
Okay, here we go. I'm clicking the link that Miles so graciously... sent us, and the answer is scoregami. That's right. In sports, a scoregami is a scoring combination that has never happened before in a sport or league's history. Okay, so that's from Wikipedia. That is the way that they
There's no more.
So, they promote it or define it.
But that's it. There's no, like, what is the score, though?
This is
like,
also from Wikipedia. The term was coined by SB Nation sports writer John Boy in 2016, and most commonly refers to scores in American football, the NFL, due to the unusual point values in football compared to other team sports. However, other sports have referenced the term as well. Since the term's inception, an internet program has tracked every scoregami in NFL history with 1,071 unique scores as of December 14th, 2021. The most recent was on December 12th when the Kansas City Chiefs defeated the Las Vegas Raiders by a score of 48-9. Let me see if I can find the original use here. There's a citation.
But how is it unusual?
That's what I'm I'm trying to figure out the etymology here. Like, why did he choose? So this is from John Boy, a blog post from 2016. Scoregami is a word I made up. It is the art of achieving a final score in an NFL game that has never happened before. As you might expect, this is pretty difficult to do, but it happened five times in 2016, the year in which I first published a story. It doesn't seem like he...
So it's literally just that, a score that has never happened before.
Yeah, I don't know that there's a relation to...
Origami.
Like,
it has nothing to do with origami.
Is it that origami is unique and each one is unique and beautiful? Like that? Is that the...
No, they're not
I think
That's the best answer I've heard so far. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I don't know if that was intentional, though. But that is our question here.
The point of origami isn't that they're like unique because they're set plans. It's like
you get close to the ideal.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong, but you know,
I don't blame Miles for that. I think this is blame John Boy for just like grabbing a word and like he wanted to coin his own term. It's pretty clear that he made a blog post. He was like, I want to coin a term here. But we do have to rate this question. Mark, what do you give this question? Do you mean to read it one more time?
No, I don't. it's well written and everything. I just hate the name. I'm at such a crossroads because
that's what we're rating.
The question is written is great.
Yes.
The question itself, I don't like.
You don't like the result, the answer?
I don't like this result. So I don't want to be around anymore. I'll give it an A-.
Okay, you just don't like the subject matter, basically.
Don't like that name.
All right,
I want to hear from this guy. He should be saying why it's called this.
Yeah,
but it doesn't seem like he can answer to it.
Just
you've given the best answer so far, and to be honest with you, I still don't really like it. I mean, you did your best. I don't blame you at all.
Try to make sense of it.
You're doing a lot of work for John Boys here. You know, I'd like to hear it from the boys. I'd like to give the boys a hand.
Okay.
Boys are back.
I will give this PIBS, lowercase s. Not because I think it needs necessarily to be edited. I think this is where I'm giving my version of the minus here, in that it just feels like you have to concentrate on the question and really dissect it before you can get into answering it. And maybe that's a personal thing with me. But I don't know. It's just, I don't know how I would rewrite this either. You know what? I'm going to go ahead and give this full PIBS. I'll give this question full PIBS. It's not my favorite PIBS, and we did stumble. There was enough information there for us to stumble upon the answer. But yeah, interesting question. Not so sure about how interesting it is once you find the full story, though. Now. Gentlemen, you must come up with your own rating system for this question. It can be anything you want, but it can't be a letter grade system, and it can't be PIBS, obviously, my own protected rating system.
Trademark.
Yep.
So you can't do a letter grade. You can't do PIBS.
I will say, I'll give this a PIBS X as well. This does have an X factor because it did get the conversation going.
Yeah. I'm going to give it a 3 cranes and 1 half unicorn, halfly folded unicorn.
Okay.
Because it went somewhere, but then it fell apart at the end. Like, if the answer in itself was interesting to the point where it was like, ooh, scoregami has a reason why it has a connection to both scoring and origami, then if it had that connection between the two, I would give it a full unicorn.
Yeah.
But because the it was just like I just it just works. It's just a cool name.
It's like Xennials. It's yeah. like forcing the mid generation. Yeah.
Portmanteaus
like,
need to
be, stop trying to make it happen.
Yeah, exactly. They need to both sides have to connect, not just one side. Oh, it's about scoring and I don't know, origami, dude. Because mm-hmm. it's cool.
Yeah.
You know, that just seems like that's what it was. That's why I thought, like, the score in itself was rare, because that's what that was about. But it was literally, that's why it's called Scoregami, is because he just, it's just a rare.
Because
it's
never, the word it's a, score ends with or, and yeah. you need to connect it to something.
Yeah, yeah. yeah. And, Bobby? And that's where it falls apart for me.
Hey.
How would you rate this question?
Let's give it a sure on the all right scale.
All right.
Nice.
Sure.
Yeah, sure.
I like that.
That's sure. a good question. Sure.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you tried.
So you got some positives here, but yeah, the result just a little not worse. As satisfying. Not worse. But great attempt here, Miles, at creating a question over the subject.
Yeah, I think that you did a good job in making it short.
Mm-hmm. If you'd like to write us with a rate my question or a miscorrection, nononsensetrivia@gmail.com, the email address, or you can call us at 1-929-356-6969.
Was that a kiss? Okay. It was a teeth.
See you later, kiss.
Just remember this.
Eric.
A kiss is just a kiss.
I'm kicking this off.
You're kicking this off.
All right. On New Year's Eve, who do you kiss at midnight?
Hmm.
If you're in Scotland,
yeah, a Scottish New Year's.
It's a Scottish New Year's.
Who do you kiss?
Not bad.
New Year's. It's a Scottish New Year's.
Ah, that's comforting.
Who do you kiss?
Mm-hmm.
Well,
this is a scary question.
Your I don't pet?
I don't know who you kiss.
Mm.
Mm-hmm.
Your pet?
A dog? Kiss the dog
or cat.
The Scottish tradition. Kiss the dog.
Look for good luck.
A sheep.
Yeah, sheep.
Ooh, Highland sheep.
Sorry, I shouldn't be saying anything.
Yes, your question. He comes up with the answer. Oh, I bet you it's your girlfriend. It's like, that's correct. It's like, oh, yeah. Shit, that was my question.
No, I just thought it was funny.
In the States, it's typically a romantic partner.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Maybe it's a family member in Scotland.
I was saying that, your mother?
Kiss mom. Kiss pop.
Say it in a Scottish accent, please.
Kiss mama. Kiss your mother.
Mm, sounds okay. Try father.
Kiss your feather.
That sounds better.
Pa. Ma. Mm. Yeah.
Kiss your feather.
Like a kiss a redhead.
Do not
Ned Devine.
I don't need any miscorrections about my shitty accent.
We didn't get any commentary this week, so I think you're good to go on the accents. Sick. Like, I mean, you've got a pass now. Nobody said anything.
Sick.
So. Accent away.
Yeah, your mom or your dad sounds mm-hmm. good. Dad would be a little more like unexpected, I think.
It's a little more Irish.
Yeah, maybe it is. Maybe it is a little lowlands-ish.
Say mother one more time.
Mother.
Yep.
I feel like father.
I think that's it.
Pretty mom. Good. She brought you into the world.
Oh, that is, you know? It.
She's going to send you off into the new year.
And she'll take you out of it.
She brought you in and she'll take you the fuck out. Kiss.
Let's go with mother.
The kiss of death.
Yeah, how do you feel about mother?
It sounded good.
Mother.
We're going to say mother.
My dad.
Sorry, that is incorrect.
Is it father?
It's everyone in the room.
Jesus Christ. Oh, okay.
This may have arisen from the Scottish tradition of Hogmanay or Hogmanay. The traditional word for the last day of the year.
Like in coronavirus.
I was going to say, yeah, I don't know what this Omicron.
Maybe not this year.
Huh. Okay.
Yeah, so it's tradition to kiss everyone in the room.
Your that's style of questions. I don't know if this how this compares to previous times you've been on the show, but yeah. I feel like you asked a lot of open-ended questions
yep.
today,
which
is a style. Yeah. You know?
Well, I also like actually...
it's a choice.
Say you hate it without saying you hate it. It's a style.
It's a choice.
It's a thing people do.
So, yeah. I mean, I tried, you know... Well, the thing is I actually spent time on writing these. Normally, I'm just like, this one. I was different. Like, oh, okay. And I like actually sat down. I'm like, okay, there's, oh, no. Mm-hmm. Like before, it's just like, oh, that one's good. That one's good. That one's good. But, I thought they were somewhat connected. You know, I mean, limited somewhat. I mean, the. I mean, there's only so many solar system objects.
That's
true. you know, there's only so many big countries. You know.
Oh yeah, yeah. I mean, I'm not trying to criticize your questions at all here.
No. That's the whole point of the podcast.
It's good to have a variety of styles too, as well, for people to pick on or pick up on. Okay, Mark.
Me.
You kicked off our quiz today, right? So you.
How many jointed appendages does a crab have? How many jointed appendages does a crab have?
10?
What appendages?
10. 8 legs and then 2.
Are they 8 legs? I thought they were 6 legs. They're
6 legs and then.
They got 2 arms. Yeah.
But don't they have like little things too?
Yeah, for the mouth.
Yeah, they're little scoopers.
Yeah, they just basically scoop up food.
Mm-hmm. All right.
And then they got the big bulky guys.
Two bulk.
And then the 6.
Yeah.
Back 2 swimmers.
Mm-hmm. I guess I consider the hands like legs.
So there's, he said appendages, not legs. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So the appendages, you know, would include tails, but they don't have tails.
Do they have knuckles?
Nice.
Thank you.
Gotta go fast.
I'm thinking 10.
It's 10 or 8.
I like, 6, 7, 8. Yeah. 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. I mean, if we want to include the mandibles for the mouth as an appendage, which I would.
Would you?
I mean.
An appendage?
It reaches
it's,
out.
It's jointed. It's jointed. So yeah. It might be small, but it's doing. It's putting in work.
But it's mighty.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's putting in work.
Lobsters have a lot of appendages. I mean,
prove it.
Okay, let's go to Publix.
We'll be right back.
Prove it.
All right, we're back.
Meanwhile, we're going to go to Publix just to prove it. Meanwhile, we all have the internet on our phone. We're just like, we're going to show you.
I don't think they have a lobster, live lobster anymore.
They don't have them in there.
Oh, I guess you could still probably look at a dead lobster and figure out.
Probably. Like, that. Or just go to Google.
But I remember when I was a kid, they had the whole tank there, you know?
Lobster lady.
I like to visit the tank as a kid. Mm-hmm. I'd be like, can we go look at the lobsters? And the parents were like, all right, for like 10 seconds, okay? Like,
so I know there's a guy on YouTube who bought one of those and has been keeping it in a saltwater tank in his house and had been taking care of it for the past 3 months. And it's actually kind of sweet.
A lobster?
Yeah. He like bought a grocery store lobster. Aww. And he has a saltwater tank, and he was like, bloop.
That thing's going to taste so good
one day. Oh, yeah. He's going to feed it nice and get it nice and thick.
There you are.
Playing the long game.
Yeah, exactly.
There is an episode of
go to the store. That lobster's only half done growing.
Yeah. Oh, I'm going to take care of this. Don't worry. There was an episode of Action Boys where they went to go watch a movie and they were going to talk about it, and they realized one of them didn't watch the right movie. So they had to stop recording so we could go watch the movie and then come back. It's pretty funny.
All right. So should we go with 10 here? Is Bobby, you're not feeling
it. He's not.
It.
Yeah, he's
I'll say
not
10.
Good. 10?
My heart says 8, but the mandibles, sure. Let's go 10. I feel like
10. Sure.
10.
He's given in. It's okay. 10.
10 is correct.
Yeah!
But no mandibles.
In your face, Bobby!
No mandibles.
Eight walking legs and 2 large claws.
Okay. 8 legs. So you were right and we were right. Mm-hmm. A happy ending.
All right.
Perfect.
All right.
There you go.
Okay, my final question is about filmmaking terms.
Okay.
Filmmaking terms.
Fro.
I know some.
Strap in.
What is the filmmaking term for character narration, soundtrack, or music overlay and sound effects from outside of the film world?
Okay.
I think I might actually know this.
Yeah.
I'm going to say a word and you tell me. Well, do you want to count to 3 and say it?
Well, I know the other version. I forget what I know what it is when it's inside the film, but I forgot what it is outside of the film. Inside the film,
1, 2, 3.
Didactic.
Omniscient.
Foley
work is like sound effect and stuff Foley like that, work, isn't it?
Yeah, but Foley is more sound effects, but he included music.
Yeah.
He included voiceover. Or I think he said voiceover, okay. Right?
Wait, what's the question again?
What is the filmmaking term for character narration, soundtrack, or music overlay and sound effects from outside of the film world?
Yeah. Inside the film, while you're watching the film, so like if a person is listening to a record and then they're like, oh, and it's up full, and then they're like, oh, somebody walks in, and we're like, oh, and you hit pause on the button and then it stops and it's like they're listening to it on a stereo, that's didactic sound. But if it's like they're listening to the music and it just slowly goes down and no one's hitting pause or whatever, you know, that I don't know what that's called. I'm sure it's something like didactic. It might be like non-didactic.
Unidactic.
Or maybe it is didactic and I'm just being dyslexic.
Wait, Mark, what did you say?
I said Foley, but I'm completely wrong.
Foley.
Foley is just sound effects. Like, oh, this guy's getting punched in the face, but usually there's really no sound. They give like the, you know.
That's pretty good.
Or sometimes there is sound and they remove it because, like, gunfire in movies don't sound very good because it just sounds like a firecracker. And so they go in and they actually make fake gun sounds that sound better in a movie.
If you would, Mark. Yep. That's it.
That would sound better than an actual gun.
Yeah. What can I say? Mark Davis, Foley artist for
hire.
Take
the pop filter off. Let's get that P going.
I want to say non-didactic.
I want to say didactic.
You want to say didactic?
Yeah, I think you don't know what the fuck you're talking about, and I think
I know what I'm talking about, but the exact opposite.
Well, I'm saying I think that maybe you're backwards because didactic is such a good answer.
Yeah.
I don't think non-didactic would be. I think there's either another word for didactic or there's another word for non-didactic or the word
point.
Is didactic.
Yeah, you make a good point. Yeah.
Hey. Lee's doing something with his lip when you said that.
Well, what he does, he does this. He looks up information about the other stuff that you're writing. He always gets so mad when I notice stuff.
Because you think you're noticing something.
You can correct me if I'm wrong, but I've been doing this podcast for a bit. And I know that when people start talking about other answers, you look it up so you can give more information. Because I do the same thing. So I can go, oh, sorry, crabs actually don't have pincher stuff. The correct answer is 10. You go to give a little bit more information, which is great to do.
But it's a tell.
Or you could just be looking
at even if it is a tell, I don't have a better fucking answer than didactic.
Mm-hmm.
I think we just...
Let's go with didactic. Oh, wait. Didactic.
No. I'm sorry. That's close. You were barking up the right tree.
Okay.
The word didactic means intended to teach a particular... intended to teach particularly in having moral instruction or an ulterior motive.
What am I...
You meant to say diegetic.
Oh.
Diegetic. And the answer is non-diegetic sound. Oh, my sound. God. Non-diegetic sound.
Non-diegetic. And when it all comes diegetic, around, I was a fine
You were so close, oh,
God.
Dude.
Wow. God.
Very close.
Yeah. Diegetic.
Diegetic. The diegetic audio is that exists inside of the movie.
The L. Ron Hubbard book. Diegetics.
No, that's didactic. Wait, no.
No, that's
Dionysus.
Dianetics.
Dianetics. Wow. Too many words like that.
Eric, Bobby, thank you so much for joining us here on the No Nonsense Trivia Podcast. Before we shoot off here, is there anything you would like to promote, Eric, or plug?
Just Lyrics to Go podcast. I don't think you guys have heard. I don't think you've mentioned it yet on this. So I thought I just.
Yeah, maybe a time or two.
It's a great series. Mark's other podcast with Seth.
Thank you.
Bobby?
Nope.
Nothing. Look out for Bobby's next appearance here on the No Nonsense Trivia Podcast. At some point, we're going to make him write questions next time. Yeah, next time we run into you at breakfast, have those questions ready. All right. And Mark, as usual, thank you so much. For joining me here.
Thank you, Lee.
Yes.
What a wonderful
thank each
time.
Other. It's been great. Listeners, thank you for listening. And please join us every Monday morning for a new episode by subscribing to No Nonsense Trivia Podcast on your favorite podcast platform. You can support the No-No in several ways. The easiest by sharing this episode on your social media accounts with your friends. You can also leave us a written review on your favorite podcast platform. And you can support the podcast on Patreon by visiting our website, thenono.com. Clicking the support link at the top, which will take you to our Patreon page.
Thank you to our Patreon supporters for helping us out with the show, including our quiz daddies, Brandon Long, Issa, Adam Volk at Esme and Red Crest Fried Chicken, Tim with Pat's Garden Service, and our good friend Tommy. Our team captains, Matt, Mo, Rick G, Skyler, Kristen, Fletcher, Rachel, Jenny, Lydia, Sean, OG, Aaron, David Holbrook, David Holbrook, David Holbrook, and Gil.
It's Gil.
Thanks to our proverbial lightkeepers, Grant, Rob, Captain Nick Williams, Kate, Rachel, Moo, Tim Gomez, a.k.a. Mappy 1984, Lucas, Carly, Sarah, Cooper, Hank, Luke, Manu, Matthew, Spencer, Lisa, Ryan, Adam, John Lewis, Nabil, Ricky F., Justin P.,
Justin Punjabi Post Office,
and Justin M.,
Justin Mandible Appendages, don't need them.
Notice today that we have two Justins, had to suss that out. And thanks to our Rumble Snailskins, Ed, Dylan, Sarah, Fox and Five, Laurel, Aaron, H-Bomb, Lauren, MJ, Steven, Kenya, We Do Stuff, Allison, Paige, Kevin, Sarah, Douglas, Alex, Mike C.,
Mike Crablegs,
Mike J.,
Mike Juicy Questions,
and Mike K.
Mike, kiss everyone on New Year's.
Yeah, there we go.
If you'd like to write us with a rate my question or a miscorrection, nononsensetrivia@gmail.com is the email address, or you can call us at 1-929-356-6966. And please follow us on Facebook, nice, Instagram, nice, and YouTube at No Nonsense Trivia, and on Twitter at No Non Trivia.
We have a Facebook group you can join as well. Just go on Facebook and search for the No Nonsense Trivia Podcast to join us there. And finally, don't forget to leave us a rating on your favorite podcast service, including Spotify.
Five stars only, please. Until next time, No Nonsense listeners,
have a great week
and a happy new year.